All right. Welcome and thank you for tuning in to another episode of Theater Cleaners. Today we have a sweet little episode. It's going to be Mean Girls. So, of course, we wore pink for our Wednesdays. Today we're joined by Chloe Gonzalez, our creative director at 12 Midnight, as well as Jewel Jeffries-Noel.
Sure, yeah.
Okay. She is our account manager here at 12 Midnight. They are both phenomenal people, and they're excited to come and talk to us about Mean Girls. Any initial thoughts?
Yeah. Thanks for having us on the pod. Love the show. Been watching it since, I don't know when it came out, but been watching it for a long time. Good thoughts.
Yeah.
Initial thoughts about the movie. It's one of my favorite movies and I've seen it a lot of times. So I know almost all the words. I don't know about you. Do you watch it often?
I'm not one of the people that like remembers words, but whenever I see it, I'm like, oh, people say that line all the time. But like, yeah, I've been watching it for a very long time.
How many times have you both seen this movie? Just ballpark.
10. Maybe that's not that much, but
that's mine a couple would be more like than me.
20 to 30.
Okay, yeah, that's definitely a couple more than me. But
what about y'all?
I'd say this was my second time watching it.
Really?
Yeah,
like second or third.
I was wondering if it was y'all's first. Okay.
No, I've seen it before at least. Got roped into that.
You have to see it at least once, probably.
Yeah, I feel like you do. But anyways, for anyone who hasn't seen that movie, I feel like Dom over here can give us a really nice synopsis as to what the movie is.
I really don't know why I'm never prepared for that.
You're never prepared,
I'm never
dude.
Prepared for that. You do it every time.
Every single time. Don't know why you don't know
teenage,
this.
Katie Heron, Lindsay Lohan, in parentheses, was educated in Africa by her scientist parents. When her family moves to the suburbs of Illinois, Katie finally gets to experience public school and gets a quick primer on the cruel tactic laws of popularity that divide her fellow students into tightly knitted cliques. I was going to say niches, and that's not that word. It's very different.
Very, like, fully different. But.
Yeah. She unwittingly finds herself in the good graces of an elite group of cool students dubbed the Plastics. But Katie soon realizes how her shallow group of new friends earned this nickname.
Okay, first question for everybody.
Yeah.
Are you team Plastics or team Art Freaks?
See, I feel like you want to be team Art Freaks, but it's misguided a little bit. You know what I mean?
I'm with that.
You know?
I feel like everybody has that like kind of desire, but everybody also wants to like kind of fit in sometimes. So yeah. It's like, it's a hard line to walk, which is why I kind of wanted to ask a question.
Sure. I'll give you a quick little where my mind comes from. At my high school, there was like cliques and stuff like that, but not nearly anything this like cliquey. It was much more like nobody really cared. You kind of did your own thing. There was not a lot of like, there's popular kids, but nobody really like, it wasn't.
How big was your school?
My graduating class was 620 people.
How big was y'all's?
Mine was about that big.
Mine was like almost 800.
Mine was 1400.
Jeez.
I feel like we for sure had cliques and stuff. Yeah.
That's yeah. Crazy. Oh my gosh.
Allen High School. It only had one high school in the whole city, so that's why.
Oh,
but I was curious if it was because it was a smaller school that you felt like you had less cliques and stuff.
I mean, it was. I don't think it's a small school, really.
I feel like with a big school though, I feel like the cliques like overlap a little more. Like,
yeah.
Not to give it away super early, but at the end when Regina like diverts all of her aggression into like sports or whatever, I feel like that's more realistic to like what high school is, where there's like the cliques, but then like each person in the clique has like a second clique that's like their side clique that they don't really tell the other friends about.
Their side clique.
It's their side clique, dog. I don't know to explain it better than that.
No, that was actually really good.
Yeah, but either way, team Plastics or team art kids?
I mean, technically, I'm an art kid, but I like the aesthetic of the Plastics.
Okay.
It's not the, you know, being rude to people.
Yeah.
But I feel like the art kids, that's rude. I feel like the art kids are kind of mean. Like, she, like, hates, I don't know. I think they're both mean. Everyone's mean.
Yeah, but I feel like
just say that at one point, right? At least I know I'm mean or whatever.
Yeah.
Like Regina and I are both mean and we both know it.
No,
at least we know we're mean.
It was the dude. It was the dude. He was like, you're a lot like Regina or whatever, but at least she's like straightforward about it. No, she was like sneaky.
I think the girl, I forget what her name is.
Yeah, the art girl, right?
The art girl.
Yeah.
Janice.
Yeah, Janice.
She at one point she's in like the sunroof at like Katie's party and she like yells at Katie and she goes, yeah, Regina and I are both mean, but at least we know we're mean kind of deal.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That
one. She backstabbed her. But I would say I'm team, like, maybe in the middle. I feel like that's where I was in high school, was kind of, like, in the middle. Not the art. I'm not really artsy. But, like, yeah, like the popular girls. But then I was, like, I would hang out with them sometimes. But then, like, I was, like, scared of them. Or, like, I wasn't, like, cool enough to go to the parties or like something like that.
That's exactly
I don't know if they can hear you.
Yeah, I don't know, but I was the same. I like was friends with the popular kids, but I didn't get invited to the parties and stuff. Like, yeah.
Cool.
Okay, well,
I guess I have a second question for you guys then. You know, when Janice, right?
Wait, but did we say what you were?
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
I'm team fucking plastics, dog. They're
really
the shit. Yeah.
Okay. Todd's an asshole.
Were you a popular kid?
We already all knew that.
No, I didn't like hang around with kids at my high school. I just did the hockey thing. So then whenever I'd show up to school, I would just be like, oh, I grew up with all of you kids. Like, hey, what's up? And then I would just do my own shit. I don't care. But no, the vibe of the plastics, I'd rather people just be mean to my face than like be mean behind my back. So it's like I vibe more with the plastics in that regard than like, I don't know, if everybody's going to be mean at some point, I'd rather it be mean to my face than just mean behind my back. I feel like you can at least call someone out a little bit more for that. But anyways, my follow up question was when Janice shows Katie the map of the school early on and there's the drawing of like the cafeteria, which table would y'all have sat at? Like, which clique within the clique groups would you have sat at? Like, what lunch table?
That's
I don't know if question. This was one, but I would have been at the cheerleader table.
Okay, that definitely should have been one if it wasn't in there. Because also they breeze past the map, like, really quick. Because also, apparently, I read this when I was doing some research. But
we do research.
If you pause on the, like, map scene, there's, like, a bunch of stuff. Okay. Actually, sorry to go on like a little tangent, but originally when Tina Fey wrote this screenplay, it was supposed to be rated R. So like a lot of some of the dialogue had to be changed and some of the stuff that was already in there that they had filmed had to be like quick cut over.
Oh, I
want to
see the rated R version.
Yeah. So
sounds way better. To be honest. Like that sounds like it'd be way funnier.
But then we couldn't have watched it when it came out. Probably.
Yeah, 100%. But anyways, with the map out at the woods, it was like warning, like make out area, stuff's going down over here, but it just breezes like quickly past that. So the map was like way more in depth than they were able to like show in camera to keep the PG-13 rating. But even then, I feel like there was way more tables than like what they showed.
Yeah. I don't remember. Maybe some of my friends actually weren't cheerleaders, but I don't know.
I feel like
what about you?
I'd be at the one, even though I don't resonate with them completely, but Janice and their table, I don't remember what they called it, but it was the one that like they technically don't fit into anything. And that's how I felt. Like I had friends in all the different cliques, but I didn't know which one I like personally felt like I would be in. Not to get deep, but that's literally how I felt. Or the cheerleader team with you because we were both cheerleaders. So.
Okay. I always forget that, actually. I always
that we were both cheerleaders?
Yeah.
We can bust a cheer out at the end if you want.
Okay. Hold you to that.
No.
I mean, I moved around at lunch tables all the time. I never sat at like one every day. I would say.
So were you well liked in school?
Huh?
Were you just well liked in school?
Yeah. I mean, I just didn't. I had a lot of friends and a lot of different stuff.
That's wild.
Yeah.
I thought they would have made fun of the polo player, but.
Well, I mean, a lot of them have tried.
Yeah.
But who cares?
Didn't let it keep you down?
No.
Where are you from? You played polo?
Water polo? California.
Oh,
yeah,
no wonder.
I would one of the tables I'd sit out a lot was the cool Asian table.
Really?
Cool Asian kids, yeah.
I only had lunch 1 year in high school because I did off blocks and like off campus stuff a lot, but I always sat with the Mormon kids. I don't know why. They were like the most fun people to me because like
repressed everything.
Well, it was also like, you know, before they like really grew up and they were still heavy in their church. So every time you would like get them all riled up and they'd be like, shut the frick up, you meanie. And you're like,
so Todd's just a
this
bully.
Is great.
Todd's just a bully just picking on people at a table.
That, like,
I wasn't a bully. I would hang out with them after school.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. I would meet him at the, bench by the library after they got out of their like morning prayer or whatever. And I would just be like, what up guys? Get in touch with God today. You know,
you do not seem like the kind of person that would hang out with Mormons. I'm not going to lie.
It was
Is there a large Mormon community in Southlake?
I don't know.
Anyway,
I mean, there's a good group. They all actually ended up going to Brigham Young, which was like pretty funny. Only like a couple of them went somewhere else, but like I'm still tight with a lot of them. They're cool. Cool people. I love them.
I have a question. Did anyone ever, you know how Katie sits in the restroom that one lunch?
Yeah. Oh.
Did anyone ever have to do that?
Never in the restroom. But a couple of times I would go eat lunch in the engineering classroom because I'd have to finish a project, which I really ended up doing engineering in college. So that was really worth my time.
Super good job.
Yeah.
Stay in school, kids.
Yeah, don't do film stuff.
Did you? I don't think it was in the bathroom, but there was definitely like lunch periods where I didn't have any friends in it. And I was like, okay, I'm just going to like go chill out there and eat my lunch by myself. So,
yeah. Oh. I used to always go like chill in a teacher's room sometimes during like lunches or whatever, just if they were like a cool teacher.
Yeah.
Like, not gonna lie, my old math teacher, Miss Teakle, doubt she's watching this, but shout out to Miss Teakle. She was the best. She knew I was terrible at math and like she just wouldn't fail me. As long as I tried or at least turned something in, she would just give me a passing grade. So it was like super chill. I would always go hang out, sit and talk with her. And I was just like, if you're gonna help me pass, then I'm gonna like hang out and be your friend, you know?
Nice.
Yeah.
I have a question for you guys. Did you have separated did you have separated lunch periods?
Yeah, I was gonna say whenever you said that. No, we didn't. Or maybe our grades did. I think our grades did. I don't remember.
My high school, it was the freshmen and then part of the sophomores or something like that. And then part of the juniors maybe.
Oh wait.
1 year it was like, I think it was junior and sophomore and junior year, it was like half and half got split.
I was going to say, I know what we did. I think ours was all the same, but freshman, sophomore, you had to stay on campus, and junior, senior, you could leave.
We couldn't leave at all. We had this one,
sucks.
This one like yard duty. His name was Bud. And he had this like crazy mustache, like, I don't know, like one of those Reno cop shows, like with mustache and everything. And he'd stand with his golf cart out there and he'd be like, "Where are you trying to go? We should pass that."
We had four lunch periods.
Really?
That's yeah, and everyone was split up. So that's why some, what would they be, semesters or whatever? There was a chance you wouldn't be with some of your friends, and it sucked.
Because at Southlake, we had like, I think it was like three different lunch periods or something like that. But I was only there for 1 year's worth of lunches. But then when I was in Colorado Springs, I went to, like, I moved out there to play hockey when I was like 16 and stayed with like another family. And the school that I went to was Air Academy High. So I was on the Air Force base and had to go through like military checkpoints every single day to go to and from school. But we had off-campus lunches as like juniors and it was sick. And it was like me and all the hockey boys, we'd roll out. But like you said, like the person checking your passes or whatever, dude, it wasn't just like a school person. It was like a full-on Air Force dude with rifle. Like, hey, prove you're a junior or senior. And you're like, okay,
like,
let me go.
We weren't allowed to leave either, and a lot of the popular kids did, or the people that like weren't afraid to get caught. And I remember one time, some guys, I was like trying to like be cool with them, and they're like, "Come on, like skip lunch with us." So I did, and I was so scared because I'm like a goody good. And I think, I don't remember if we got caught. I don't think we did, but it was definitely like the rebels went because you weren't supposed to.
Well, okay, I love hearing about everybody's like high school experience.
Let's talk about the movie.
Yeah.
How about that? So were there any characters or moments of this film that really like resonated with either of y'all? Because I feel like it's, you know, this movie is absolutely a cult classic. It's influential. It's memorable for all the right reasons. So I feel like it's just kind of like a staple of a lot of people's like childhoods. So was there anything that was like specifically influential or like changed your mind about who you wanted to become or anything like that? I know it's a heavy question.
I would say there's one part of the movie, and it's played off of as a joke, but I kind of like actually felt it a little bit, was the random girl during the, like when they're all together talking, the random girl, and then Damien is like, she doesn't even go here. Like that girl, and she's like, why can't we just all be friends like middle school? I didn't have problems with people in high school, but I had friends in middle school that I just kind of stopped talking to because we weren't like in the same kind of circles. And I felt that. I was like, why can't we just all be friends like middle school? It's like, yeah, what happened? Where'd everybody go? You know what I mean?
That was a deep moment, actually, yeah. For like no reason too.
And then she's not even from the school. Like, why are you here? Because I have a lot of emotions. And then she's like,
they didn't even validate her feelings, though. They were like, go home.
True. They didn't even let her do the trust fall, too.
No.
She showed her like stepping down off the stage. And I was like, that's a good little moment. Because like, I will say, like, I don't think the film was like the most like technically insanely done or whatever, but it hit in the right moments, and it did like a lot of the right things to make it just super engaging and like really enjoyable. Like, I'm not gonna lie, I always forget the guy's name, the principal. His real name is actually Tim Meadows. I love that guy and everything he does, but it's always such a like a subtle like whatever kind of comedy, and like for like being one of the few dudes in the whole movie, I was like, he nailed this. Cause especially once he gathers all the girls in the gym or whatever, and they start talking, he's like, I'm not the guy for this
teacher lady.
Yeah. But he happens to know like all the drama.
Yeah. Oh yeah. He's in on it. When they're doing the recap on like Regina George and all the people's dating stuff, he's just like, oh yeah, I know.
He's like, is this true?
Yeah.
Dude, I feel like that's how teachers like actually are, though. They're so like they're invested in the drama as much as the students are.
Yeah, it's funny like thinking like about your teachers, but now we could actually be them like your friends are. And I'm like, what? That's so weird.
No, it's super crazy, especially like, like being the same age as teachers now. It's like I'd be back in Colorado. I'd be out drinking on a weekend with some friends. And then it's like, and oh, they're teaching kindergarten the next morning. Like, what? It's wild.
I think I would resonate the most with, do we call her Katie or Caddy?
It's Katie,
Katie, right?
I keep saying Caddy.
Okay, it's Katie. Yeah. I think I would resonate the most with her, like before she became the head honcho girl, just trying to like, well, not trying to like spy on the popular girls, but like just feeling that weird in between and like trying to be cool.
You're like, this isn't really who I am.
Not being like maybe you're true.
But it's also not who I am kind of deal. Like,
it's like that period of growth when you're just jumping from like the OG circle into a new one. And it's kind of just like you're testing the waters, dipping the big toe, but then you're not really wanting to do the full nose first dive.
Yeah, like I know this was high school, but I felt this movie in middle school for myself. Just because it was like sixth grade, different schools got together, so there were new girls, and that's whenever people like formed.
Oh, true. Like, so, you go from like your small elementary school to like one more step of like other schools, and then you get to high school.
And then like there were new hot girls, and like, you know, people were obsessed with them. And then
this is one thing that I like questioned throughout the whole movie, and it's not really a big deal, but I want to know why they wanted them to be juniors in high schools, not seniors. Cause I feel like it would have hit like way hard if they were seniors, but I feel like they did the juniors for the resolve of the following year. Like they came back and like all is right in the girl world and everything like that. But it's like, I don't know. I feel like the clickiness and like getting humbled like that, like the way Katie did within the movie, I feel like that's so much more of like a senior year of high school thing, because it's like there's so many more things that are going to impact that, especially with
the
you're
actually right. I think you're right there.
I thought it kind of had the, I could be totally wrong, and who knows, it could just be because junior, why not? But I feel like it has something to do with at the end of the movie, you see it's like cyclical, right? Like you finally think you're something when you're an upperclassman after you're like sophomore year, you're now a junior, you think you're something special, and then you realize, wait, you're not, and then you just go to the next year, and it's like the younger kids are now like doing the same kind of thing.
Yeah, but it was super weird because it's like, they're all in their junior year or whatever. Everything's going on. But then at the end, the new plastics come in and it's like they were just the sophomores. Were they not at the same school? Did they just pop up out of nowhere? Because it's like they were all together at the same school. They could have seen that going, like saw that at the same time, you know?
Sure. It's about like the years and time that you change in high school. Like they could have, those new plastics or whatever, probably didn't even know that that's what they were going to become. And it's the transition period when you're becoming a junior. But also I think it's the whole thing of that Katie was coming into the school in this in-between time. So it was like, she wasn't a freshman. She wasn't a senior. It was this like weird limbo of like being the new kid. So I think that's probably why they did it that way. Like, I don't know. I don't think. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
No, it, I also, like it. It also could be as simple as you just want, they wanted that moment of the next year, everything being fine. And the younger people are the, are like the next step of like, oh, it's happening all again kind of deal. And that's why they just wanted it just for that. Yeah. Who knows?
Who knows?
But I will say it works how it does.
I mean, the movie works. There's yeah. Like, honestly, I don't really have any, like there was never anything that like stood out as like a problem within the movie, like from a technical standpoint or like a storytelling standpoint. But it's also like, dude, this is such like a, it has such deep ties to SNL. Like, I don't know if you guys ever watched SNL or like were fans, but like Lorne Michaels was the producer of the movie. He's the dude who's like done SNL for its entirety of it being around. And like Tina Fey wrote it. She was also in it. Amy Poehler and her used to do Weekend Update together, but they were two out of the four SNL cast members that were in the movie, which is like super interesting. And you can see their like humor show through, and like they had that like platform to be able to tell like the story. But also, how great was Amy Poehler in this?
I was about to say, I love her. She offers them drinks and she's like, Katie's like, is there alcohol in this? She's like, no, who do you think I am? But do you want some? I was like, oh my God, I love that.
Oh, she was great.
That's what felt like SNL. It felt like she had an SNL character in the movie.
Yeah.
I feel like she was improvising like 90% of that.
Probably.
Like even the bit when they first get over there before they even get to the cocktails or the mocktails or whatever. And she's like, I'm not like most moms. I'm a fun mom. Like, it was just like, this is great. She's just in her element riffing.
And then she like walks in on them like hooking up and she's like, are you good, guys? She's like, let me know if you need anything.
Also, that's something.
But also, as she's shutting the door, she's like, I love you so much.
Yeah.
I was like, that's the weird part, but that's awesome. That's funny.
Yeah.
This movie does that really well, is the comedic moments, the little like quick kind of like deadpan deliveries of stuff. It does it so well, actually. Like, my initial thoughts of this, of going to this movie, like, what would I think about watching this movie? Obviously, it's a little skewed because I'd seen it before. But the initial thoughts could be like, oh, it's just going to be another like repetitive chick flick of just like high school problems. But this movie does it so different and tells it like in a like entertaining way that it, I don't know. It's, instead of just feeling like another movie, it feels like it's its own thing. I think that's why it's such a popular movie, is it's got its own vibe to the whole genre. And I think if we're talking about the genre, it's the best, if not one, it's one of the best, if not the best in its like genre of like chick flick, high school problem stuff.
Oh, it's top dog for sure.
Yeah.
I can't name another. Honestly, I can't think of another that I've seen.
What would we say the genre was?
Like, I mean,
high school chick flick?
Chick flick, like comedy?
Yeah, or pretty much. Like a, yeah. I would say like coming of age comedy would be like the true, if you put it in like a list. Sure. But back to your like deadpan comedy, the one of those that really stood out to me was right at the start when they're all getting back to the school and it's Tina Fey and the principal. And they were like, how was your summer? And she was like, oh, I got divorced. And he was like, oh, my carpal tunnel came back.
She goes, I win.
I win. Yeah. I was like, that's deadpan comedy to a T. But also they had to write in the carpal tunnel thing. The actor, he broke his hand like right before they started filming and they were just like, well, he's in a cast, so what's the easiest way to like fake this?
Oh, carpal tunnel. Oh,
wow. That's funny.
Yeah. It's a good pivot, but it's also like it such is. Like a lame reason to be in a cast that it like it fits the movie all the much more. But yeah. Were there any specific scenes for y'all that like really stood out for either being funny or like really like influential or like moving?
Moving, like, is it emotionally or something?
Yeah.
I don't know about that, because this movie doesn't really have a lot of there's not a lot of whole, like, it's not a movie that's gonna get the catharsis going, at least for me.
I'm not gonna lie, in Katie's speech after getting the crown, I was like, that's just good to see. Like, yeah. I was sitting there and I had like a little, dude, I don't know what it is. I cry in like every movie. Anytime it's like the least or like minimally touching, I'm like, shit. I just feel for the vibe. I'm like, damn, that's good. And it's weird too. If someone was in front of me giving that speech, I would be like, okay, just whatever. But if it's in a movie, I'm like, shit, man, I'm here for it. Like, this is good. This is a good moment.
Because you love film. I would say the scenes that I think are that do the film like a lot of justice and kind of get you the mindset of Katie early on is when it, the one I think of is the mall scene where they like walk into the mall and then her experiences are all from like Africa and like her parents being scientists and like ecologists and stuff like that, right? So her imagination of what's happening in the mall is like the Saharan watering hole or whatever she says, and everybody turns into like wild animals and starts like attacking each other kind of deal. I thought that's really funny because this is like, it's this person's imagination, and it really gets you into like how they think very differently than everybody else. I just feel like it's a really like, one of those moments like you were talking about earlier that just like is like spot on for what it is. Does a great job at showing you her POV of like how she goes about thinking about things. I just thought it was pretty solid. And then later in the movie, when she becomes a plastic full-fledged without like pretending to be one anymore, those disappear.
Well, also, I don't know if you noticed, you probably did, but it happened then in the mall, and then it also happens in the cafeteria. Mm-hmm. About like people breaking out, and then there is that moment at the end when the burn book, everyone sees it, and everyone it actually happens. Yeah. So yeah, that was a cool thing to see.
What's even funnier with that one is I literally wrote in my notes as that was going down, I was like, school turned into a jungle, haha. Mm-hmm. Nice. And then Katie walks out into the like hallway and she's like, oh, it turned into a jungle, and I was like, there it is, that's the moment. But to bringing up the mall, sorry, I don't know, like, how well-versed you guys are in, like, props or locations being reused.
It's been in so many
different, like, movies, TV shows. Like, I'm pretty sure it was in, like, Stranger Things, How I Met Your Mother, yeah. Like, all sorts of different movies. Because it's, like, the little...
The fountain in the middle
being the star with, like, the circular, like, pit kind of thing where all the high school kids hang out.
Yep.
It's reused all the time. Yeah.
Is it in L.A.?
Probably, because
it's the Wilhelm scream of movie malls.
Yeah, honestly, it is. Yeah. Good reference, good tieback. Yeah. Actually,
yeah, definitely didn't notice it back then, but now, like being in the production world, you look at things a little bit differently watching movies, and now I'm like noticing when not just that location, but multiple ones are used.
Because I saw on the run of notes, you saw the foreshadowing at the start of the movie with the bus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because I didn't pick up on that the first time I'd watched it. And then going back, I was like, there it is.
Yeah, I read that and I was like, I'm not smart enough to know. You didn't notice that?
No. It's one of the solid motifs in this movie is if you're a bitch or an asshole, you're going to get hit by a bus.
Well,
so, yeah, just don't get hit by a bus and you should be a good person.
Also, Janice calling the title out, like when she's in the sunroof yelling at Katie or whatever. And she's like, You're just a mean girl. Like, you're a bitch. And I was like, so that's where mean girl. Yeah. Okay. Cool. I never made that reference either, which was like interesting.
Something about like, not really like that, but it reminded me of it is there's a really big, like we wear pink on Wednesdays, right? On Wednesdays, we wear pink or whatever the actual line is. Hence why we're all wearing pink right now. That's only said one time in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such like a big thing in culture that you'd think it'd be like a lot more often. It's actually only said one time.
I feel like that's
and
how it is
almost
for
a
like
throwaway line.
Yeah. But I feel like that's how it is for like the most quotable of quotes. It's just like a one-off. Like, because if they say it all the time in the movie, it's not like you're...
You don't want to
say it. I feel like
when
you're quoting a movie, you're always saying like the one you catch. It's not the one that's like the most obvious, you know?
Yeah, that's fair.
I feel like this movie has so many of those, like so many iconic lines.
Oh my God. So that's fetch. So that...
Stop trying to make it work.
I'm going to make fetch happen, okay? But no, what happened, so why they used fetch was Tina Fey didn't want to actually use any current teen slang so then it would be dated. So then she made up fetch. It's literally just short for fetching. But she just like wrote in her own slang so it could be timeless. And dude, it worked.
Love
like
that.
Literally, didn't fetch become like a, people started saying that for a little while?
Probably did.
Maybe as a joke.
Yeah, I think people say it as like a joke.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know for real.
That just hurts Todd's feeling. He's been saying it for real for like...
I've been saying it for real for years. Yeah. Yeah, I'm trying to make fetch happen.
I don't know.
No. Oh my gosh. Man.
Are there any performances?
But another iconic scene is the Christmas scene. I just want to bring up like the Christmas performance.
Yeah.
It's just one that for some reason, like everyone's dressed up as the mom.
Mm-hmm.
Wearing the juicy tracksuit with the video cam. Yeah.
Oh, sure. I also feel like that scene has been kind of remade in a couple of things.
Probably.
I feel like in Pitch Perfect, they had something that was like really similar to that. Yeah. I don't remember. But I feel like that's kind of one of those scenes that people will like take. Like, that's a funny idea. I'm going to riff off of it and put it into my thing.
I'm not going to lie. I love Pitch Perfect. Whole trilogy. I've seen it actually multiple times.
Yeah, I need to rewatch.
But no, with the Christmas scene, actually. So one of the things they did with the costuming was they wanted to make sure that their outfits were plastic to be that extra layer of like resemblance.
Wow. Huh.
We do research.
We do
and
research.
By we do. I mean, Todd does.
Y'all are full of facts.
Yeah, literally. But no, it's like they do a lot of like symbolism throughout the whole movie of like adding in different little details that are just like just to prove a point, really. It's just to hammer it home. But also like with their like costuming and like wardrobe and everything like that, like they nailed it to a T. And what was crazy was with Caddy, like seeing
Caddy.
You're right. But with Katie, like seeing the growth of coming straight from Africa and how she dresses, how she wears like limited makeup into like getting all the way to full-fledged plastic Katie. It was like, oh my gosh, that is full. Like, it is this huge change and it's evident. And honestly, I didn't really like notice the real change until like, you know, when she wears the one day of the week that she wore the ponytail, because she can only wear the ponytail one day a week. Yeah. It was the one time that she did the ponytail with the ribbon on it. And she's talking to Janice in the hallway, waiting to get into the library. And then Regina comes up. So then Lindsay's like, no, go away.
Yeah, she's like, why are you talking to her?
Yeah. But no, that was like the first moment where I noticed like Katie's really becoming like full plastic. Because it's like the first time she wears a ponytail, it's just like natural rubber band, super slick back. And then that one was like an actual like hairdo with the ribbon and everything like that. Yeah. I was like, oh, she's trying now.
Mine was like at her party. She was like full on.
Okay. That was like a Grease Lightning vibe.
Yeah.
Like she looked like she was ready to go and like drop the flag at a drag race or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which one?
Katie's outfit for
her
party.
She hosted the party.
The black with the pink stripe.
It looked like she was going to be one of the girls in Fast and Furious or whatever.
Yeah. And she's wearing like fishnet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I got to say, if they didn't want to date the movie, they really did with the outfits.
That's so true.
Yeah.
It's definitely early 2000s. Like,
yeah.
And the music.
Yeah,
I
guess.
Those are iconic, though.
Yeah, like, I think it's a staple.
So many people reference those. They're Halloween costumes forever. Mm-hmm. So even though, yes, it's like dated, it's still.
Is that where the juicy jumpsuits became popular, is because this movie?
Well, they... Oh.
I thought they got popular because of the Spice popular? Girls. Or the Cheetah Girls.
I have no
one idea. Or the other.
Yeah, Cheetah Girls. Know.
Oh, sorry. Cheetah Girls reminded me. This was Lindsay Lohan's first non-Disney movie. The first one she did without like being in her Disney contract. So it was like her first grown-up role, which is interesting.
Yeah. Out of Disney with.
Oh, yeah. Probably catapulted her into her crazy life for a little while. Mega stardom.
It was a foreshadow of what she was going to be.
Well,
I was going to change her.
So actually, Lindsay was originally approached for Regina's role, but she didn't.
I feel like I saw this somewhere.
Yes, she didn't want her public image to be affected by like her playing Regina. And so that's where Rachel McAdams comes in, because they were like, I think it was the director, the producer, whatever, was like, only nice girls can play mean, to where it's like, it was kind of saying like, if you get a mean person and you put them in this role, it's not going to come off the right way. So then it was like, oh, let's just have Rachel McAdams do it, which also like, I don't know why I had seen Rachel McAdams in so many different movies and it never connected to me that she was like, she was Regina.
You just connected it for me. I didn't really? Yeah. And then like whenever I saw it, Amanda Seyfried was in it.
That was her first movie.
Oh, really?
That was her first movie.
I thought she was, out of everybody, I thought she played her character so well.
Yeah.
Like her delivery of every line was perfect. She was playing the dumb girl, but played it so well to where it didn't feel like, it felt like the girl was actually dumb, but I don't mean that in a bad way. I don't, like, it's a movie. You could, obviously, she's playing that role.
Yeah.
But it felt, she wasn't overplaying it. She was just hitting the right amount of, like, how dumb is she supposed to be? This is exactly what I need to go for kind of deal. Mm-hmm. I thought that, I don't know, I thought she did that really well. I thought it was hilarious. Just her delivery of lines was great.
Dude, well, like, she's amazing. She's phenomenal. Rachel McAdams, she's always been one of my favorite actresses, but like them as the Plastics, I can't remember the other Plastics name. She's been in a ton of like TV.
She's in like Hallmark movies now.
Yeah.
Because I recognized her. I was like, oh, I see her in Hallmark movies because I watch those.
I love a Hallmark movie. I only watch the Christmas ones though.
Well, yeah, same.
Okay.
But she's in those. I don't know what her name is. Like,
they got them for every holiday.
Do they?
Pretty sure.
I want to see a Halloween Hallmark movie.
I don't think you do.
It's Christmas in July Hallmark right now.
Really? Okay. Well, that's good to know.
You know, they make a lot of those Hallmark movies like in the summer.
Yeah. Yeah.
In Canada?
Probably. But no. Shit.
Are you trying to remember what you're going to say?
Yeah. And then I was like, well, I'm going to use this natural pause as like a moment to cut. So.
The last girl from the Plastics. Not Regina, not...
Rachel? Or what's her name?
Gretchen Wieners?
Yeah. Yeah, her name was funny. Anyways. But yeah, like the lady who played Gretchen was like really well done. Like it was like... Not like she was... as dumb as Amanda Seyfried or however you say your name, but like she was definitely kind of an airhead, if that makes sense. Like it was like, like Regina's sharp as a tact. And then as you go down like the ranks of the Plastics, I feel like it's slightly less all the way there, which is funny. But also the pivot to when they're all like, they're doing the reveal of like the new cliques at the end of the movie, her speaking freaking Vietnamese or whatever. That was insane. I was like, she nailed the inflection on it too. I was like, okay, that's kind of talented.
I was confused as to why they put her there, but
she's got to serve a queen. I think that's the only part of it.
I think that's one of those SNL jokes that don't really make a lot of sense, but it's like funny.
Yeah.
Right? Like, why is she there? Who cares? It's kind of funny.
Well, like, I know when we did American Graffiti, I got into this. It's like, I don't love the like post-movie recap of the characters because it sometimes feels a little cheesy. But this one, I was like, this is solid because I need that like resolution from these people just to see like, oh, they actually have grown or have moved on or whatever. But
so you hate the end of Sandlot is what you're saying?
Shit. Sandlot gets a pass. That's a classic, dude. Yeah. Sandlot, dude. You got to find out what happens to Benny the Jet Rodriguez.
True.
Yeah, man. I almost bought PF Flyers because of that movie.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Very, very. Yeah. Anyways. Okay, here's a question for y'all. Did either of you guys have a diabolical master plan in high school? Not to the extent of like Katie, like trying to blow up the Plastics, but did you guys ever have like a like little diabolical scheme for like social ranks?
I definitely didn't. No.
for social ranks.
I don't know the best way to say it, but it's like,
yeah.
Did y'all ever do anything similar to like kind of what Katie did?
Were you trying to fuck with somebody like to sabotage them a little bit or something?
Yeah.
Like that?
Yeah.
Definitely not. I didn't really give a shit. I just kind of lived my life day to day, kind of like I was just like, oh, what am I doing today? Well, I've got math class. Okay, cool.
Yeah, I would say I never like sabotaged anybody, but there was always like little pranks. Like even with hockey, like before you would go out and skate, you would take the clear tape that you use for your socks and you would put it on the bottom side of their skate. So when they step on the ice, there's no traction and they just fall on their face. It's like a little haha prank, but it's also like kind of mean.
So there's no edge, so they can't like.
Yeah, skate. And it's clear tape, so they can't see it on there when they're getting ready. So then they just step out onto the ice and they fall right on their face. And it was always funny because if it was like a big game and there was like kind of a nerd on your team, you'd do it to them. Not to be mean.
Once again, I think that was just Todd.
Yeah, I'm not really a prankster, and I get too scared that people like. I don't like people being mad at me, so I think I'm too nervous for that.
Oh my God, wait. So if you were in the school assembly that they had when the principal's talking to them, would you have tried to pull a Regina where like you'd pop up and be like, I didn't do anything wrong. I'm just the victim here.
I don't know. I would have raised my hand.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about you, Chloe?
I don't think I ever did anything like that. Tried to scheme. Oh wait, are we talking about that or if I would raise my hand?
Both.
Okay. No, I would have definitely raised my hand for both. But yeah, I don't think I did any sort of scheme, but I definitely at some points just tried to fit in with the popular kids, but that's about it.
That's what's wild with like high school is it's such like a short period of time, but it feels like an all out, like just do what you can to survive. Like, why does it feel kind of like prisonish in that sense of like, you just find your clique and you do what you can to get around, you know?
Yeah.
It's weird.
I don't know. Maybe your high school experience is different than mine.
My high school was designed by a prison architect, so there was
mine
that.
Mine also looks like a prison. If anyone's seen Past School High School, go look at it. It's a prison.
Mine didn't really look like a prison. We were on a hill, and the campus is kind of like went like that a little bit. So if you're on the top, you could like see out into the valley. It's kind of cool.
Damn.
You're in Cali, so.
Yeah.
You're at Foothill High School.
Different.
Really? It was Foothills? Foothill?
What area?
It was like East San Francisco Bay. So
Bay Area.
Wow.
Alameda County, baby.
Yeah. Honestly, I don't know how many times you can bring up you're from California on these pods, man.
I did bring it up. People ask it.
Cool. I'm like, where do you play water polo here?
It's because I have different.
Well, I mean, anywhere with a pool.
Well, that's not true. Normal here.
That's true. I'm pretty sure
there's hockey. So
I think Carol has a team.
Yeah, they do. A girl I dated in high school played for their water polo team. I went to like a tournament once. It's nice. Weird. Water polo is fun to watch, actually. Everybody's just beating up on
sport.
What?
It's sick.
Sick.
It's a lot of fun.
Hell yeah.
You know, if out of anything that kind of brings up some like the schemes, where were the schemes? I don't know if we really had schemes, but there was kind of always like the at practice you would have it's not really schemey, but it's kind of like there you had the balls, right? And they have different like grip, like the older ones were like way shittier, right? So you'd always try to like get the one that you wanted to practice with that day. So you'd like get it and like hide it or like put it somewhere. So that'd be the closest thing to scheme-y that we would do is all the upperclassmen. We'd like bully the like freshmen and sophomores, be like, nah, you can't. Oh, you want the good ball? Good one. You're not gonna get that. That'd probably be the closest thing to that.
Okay.
So it's more of a
guy thing.
A little bit
of a bully to the underclassmen at practice.
Well, I feel like that goes back to the like doing it to your face or doing it behind your back. Cause I feel like dudes are gonna like way more often like pull pranks or like rip on someone just to see a reaction versus like just being mean to like boost yourself.
Yeah, girls probably did it behind each other's back, so we don't talk about it openly.
They still are hiding things that they did in high school that they're just like, don't want to come back to them.
Yeah, but, straight up.
I'm not going to talk about it.
Yeah, no, it's all good. Yeah, it's okay. Oh, that was my favorite thing from working the Taylor Swift concert was they had stickers for everybody. And it was just like a little dude with a thumbs up. And it was just like, it's okay. I signed an NDA. I was like, this is money.
That's actually funny.
It was great. Anyways, back to the film. where do you think it excelled, but also where do you think it kind of fell flat? Like, I mean, for me, it was obviously like the characters, the dialogue all was really, really well done. But like when it comes to like maybe the lighting or the camera moves, it fell a little flat because there wasn't a lot technically going on. Mm-hmm. Like it could have, it did its job for what it was. But I mean, I feel like every now and again you throw in like maybe a little jib where it's like, you know, some camera movement or something would have added a little extra.
A little flare.
A little flare. Maybe a lens flare or two.
No, I meant like flares and like.
Yeah, I know. Like Ric Flair.
Yeah.
Get that drip.
Yeah.
I wasn't looking at anything technical like that. But does anyone know, is Katie's dad any sort of cool actor from anything? Because to me, I'm like, I feel like they could have picked a cooler, funnier character.
He's the janitor like he's in Scrubs.
Okay. Is that a big character?
So Scrubs is a TV show that ran for like 8 seasons about, it's like a comedy, about like doctors coming up through like residential or whatever. And he plays like a mean janitor. And I kind of agree. I thought he was great though. I thought he hit like the sincerity and like the like neutral dad, you know, cause the mom was always like, oh, what are you doing? And the dad's just kind of like, oh,
he's got the, I'm so not like, okay, I'm so not prepared for this kind of
yeah.
deal.
Like, oh yeah. Well, even the fact of like he was like, you're what do they call it? You're grounded.
Grounded, yeah.
And I was like, that was great.
Well, I mean,
like,
all his lines and stuff were good. Like he still delivered, but I thought every character was so well chosen, like the actor and actress. So when it came to him, I'm like, why didn't they choose? I don't know who it would be, but I'm just like, I don't know.
I don't know if there's much more to do with his role. I feel like the whole role was the fact that he's like true. Disconnected from it, right? Because if he was more like Amy Poehler's role, like more into the movie I'm like the that, then I feel like it wouldn't be right.
Yeah.
I think like I was saying, like it's nailed for what his role should be. Is like the dad doesn't know anything about this like clicky girl stuff. Why would he? Yeah. He's been like a scientist in Africa for a long time. All he does, like he doesn't, like he's not any part of that world.
Yeah,
I didn't think he was a working man. I thought he was like a stay at home dad.
Well, I think after the movie, yeah, but I'm pretty sure they're both scientists. Yeah. And,
oh, but only the wife got the job at Northwestern.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyways, I think his lines and stuff, all of that was good. Just the person that was playing him. If I had to choose, I would say that's where it fell flat.
But I
still love
the
movie.
With,
I don't know. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Who has like that warm, inviting, know. Like dad vibe? Imagine if it was like Paul Rudd. Like that wouldn't fit.
I don't
know. That'd
I
be too much for his role,
one.
Right?
That'd be too much.
Like,
yeah.
I love Paul Rudd, but he'd be too much for that role.
Yeah. Same with like Will Ferrell. He would have been too much.
Too much. There's someone out there. It would have casted differently.
Yeah.
I don't know who it would be, but
Chloe no, just you has, just needed to
Chloe
see
just has
everybody
a chip on her shoulder and she wants. To smash it, like
the guy from Friday Night Lights.
Oh, true.
Yeah.
Channing Tatum.
Yeah,
he's so. Great. He would have been good.
He would
have
been good. Yeah,
dad.
He is the ultimate dad. He always like every role he's a dad in it. He always is like a good parent, which is nice. And I feel like he accepts roles because of that. He wants to feel like that good family values kind of guy.
He's got the less clueless dad vibes. He's got the more like protective dad vibes. Like
Yeah,
he's more. He that wouldn't be like, I don't know what's happening. You're grounded kind of deal. More like,
yeah, you're right.
You're
you
grounded.
Have a problem. I'm going to fix it kind of deal. Yeah. Like, yeah. I don't know.
What about,
he did nail Friday Night Lights though. Like, it's like, it's perfect.
Oh my God. Back in college, every night before we go out drinking, me and my roommate would always go clear eyes, full hearts.
I don't know who y'all are talking about, so I need to go look them up.
You've never seen Friday Night Lights?
Like, maybe once a really long time ago.
So, you should watch it. You went to high school in Texas.
The movie and the TV show are, like, super different.
Yeah, movie sucks. My opinion.
Wait, the movie sucks?
Yeah, it's my opinion. I think the TV show is
TV show goes way more in depth.
The TV show, yeah.
The TV show goes way more in depth and the movie is like a real quick glance. But, like, if you watch the TV show, season one is the movie. Yeah. And then every season after that is just like the residual fallout because it's based on a true story and it's from Permian, Texas. And then like Dallas Skyline or whatever is the villain team.
I feel like the team, I know it's based off of what you're saying, but I feel like the team's vibe a little South Lake, a little Carroll High School, right? best football team in the state for a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Should we go Except, back to...
Yeah, 100%. Only thing I'll say to that is Permian was like a double A school, dude. Southlake was 6A. We're the big dogs.
Yeah.
I don't even, everybody in college, everybody used to, yeah, I went to a 6A school. I was like, I have no idea what that means.
Yeah, because you're from a weird state, dude.
I went to a D1 school, I guess. I don't know. Like, that's what we called it.
D1.
Division 1, Division 2, Division 3. That's what it was.
That's college, I think.
Yeah. That's what it is.
Was yours like a prep school?
Nope.
I have another one that I could call out for where they fell short just because I'm good at picking things apart.
Yeah.
Do y'all like that she ended up with Aaron Samuel? What's his name? Aaron Samuels?
Oh,
Aaron
the Samuels.
The dude?
Regina's ex.
Yeah, Regina's ex.
I didn't even realize she ended up with
him. I was going to say, I feel like they could have had her character like outgrow him too and be like, I don't need you in a way. So it was like a small disappointment that she went back to him. You know, I feel like there was too messy and like I thought she only wanted him because, yeah, Regina, or just like he was the cute popular guy, but really like what if she ended up with another person that like wasn't in the cliques and wasn't in the popular crowd, you know?
I think she didn't even need to end up with anybody.
Yeah, even that. Like, why couldn't she just be like independent and like, nah, I don't need anyone.
Fair. My take on that though was that like basically throughout the whole story, she tried to be someone she's not to get his attention. And then ultimately it's like, oh, you just needed to be yourself and you would have gotten there eventually, which is like more of a like whatever. That's spreading the message, I think. But it's like
true.
And it's not a big deal. I feel like either way, like if she went and she's just like, I don't need no man, independent, I-N-D-E-P-E-N-D-T. Oh, God, I can't spell.
But talking about that, is that's a very Hollywood thing, is the always have to make it the happy ending.
But it could have been happy without him, too.
Yeah, but it's like a super Hollywood thing. It's just like, it's got to be like the, oh, you think that's, oh, like, oh, we're kind of rooting for them to be together. Okay, they have to be together. There's no, I always think of like the example of it's a happy ending without it being like everything is La La Land. Is like that movie ends and you're like, damn, that's a satisfying end. And it's like kind of a happy end. But at the same time, it's like part of it sucks.
I wasn't satisfied.
Right?
I want the Hollywood ending.
Yeah. And that is an example of something that doesn't have the classic Hollywood ending that like everything is perfect, blah, blah, blah. Like it doesn't need to be, but that's just a really common thing that happens in Hollywood movies.
Mm-hmm.
So why does she end up with him? Probably just for that reason. It's just like, how do you end a script like that? Just culturally, that's how Hollywood ends.
Did you know that this is based on a freaking parenting book? Like a non-storyline parenting book?
I did read that, actually.
Yeah, it's like Queen Bee and the something or whatever. It's like how to survive cliques and whatever, people growing up through high school. Yeah, so...
I thought it was based on a high school in Chicago.
Maybe.
Could be. Because basically it's like Tina Fey, when she sold it to Paramount, she was like, oh, I'm going to base this around this parenting help book. But then she opens the book and she realizes it's not a storyline. It's just like a guidebook for how to like help your kid get through like high school or whatever. And she was like, oh, I kind of backed myself into a corner with this. But then she ended up like, you know, kind of just fixing it and figuring out like one of the better movies of the era, you know?
Yeah. I always like my friends from Chicago and she's like, I didn't go to the Mean Girls High School, but I live right by it. And then like I visited her one time and she's like, that's the Mean Girls High School.
Oh,
where they filmed it.
Maybe they filmed it, but I thought it was based off of it. I don't know.
I need to
do more research. I'll let y'all know later.
Yeah. No, I always find it interesting where they choose to like shoot different locations or whatever, because it's always like they base a movie somewhere specific, but then they always shoot somewhere that's not there. Like recently we watched Donnie Darko and it was based in Virginia or Iowa or something like that, but like a lot of the main shooting was done in like Santa Monica, and it's like just made to look like it, which is like, it's always interesting. And
yeah,
always,
that's weird to me.
I know.
Yeah. Well, I think it's just a lot of those reasons is they have the infrastructure for film stuff.
100%
Santa Monica, LA area.
Yeah,
versus some small town in Virginia might not be as open to be like, oh, you want to shut down a street for 3 months straight? No. You know what I mean?
I feel like small town Virginia would be like, oh, you're going to pay us how much money to shut down so-called street for 3 months? That'll give our economy a huge boom.
True. But then you have examples of just the one I can think of right now is American Graffiti. They're going to shoot downtown and they're going to do it at night and off street. And they're like, you filmed one day, you're out. See you later.
Yeah. But on the flip side of that, think Field of Dreams, where it like boosted Iowa's economy for like years.
True. They still have, don't they still have the Field of Dreams games for MLB there?
Yeah. And they still have the house up.
But they're redoing it. So it's actually, they don't have it for like the year next year.
Anyways.
It's a movie. It's a baseball movie.
Yeah, it's a baseball movie. Kevin Costner.
I've heard of that.
The question was Excel too, right?
Yeah.
Not just ball.
Yeah. Do you have a spot where they excel? Because I was just about to follow up and ask, like, what do you think makes this movie so influential and impactful? So it could be a two-part.
I mean, I just gotta say the humor. Like the performances and delivering the comedy is like so like just spot on when it needs to be. I think it does it so well.
I was going to say the twist that I personally didn't see coming when Regina gets really mad and goes to write in the burn book. And you think the whole time that she's going to add Katie's picture. And then like even how they film it and like they place the picture. And then when she's like gluing it on and she leans over so you can't see, but you just expect or think that it's going to be Katie, and then it ends up being her, and like that was, I don't know, I didn't see that coming at all, so I thought that was one of the
was definitely an impactful moment, because it kind of lets you like, it sells you on the idea of like the doing it behind your back and like trying to make a certain social image or whatever. It like really sold the point of like kind of Regina's whole vibe, like she is sharp as a tack and she knows how to think, and it's like that's another part of that is like photocopying and scanning the book. So then when all the plastics are getting ringed out, she's just like walking through the halls, just throwing up all the papers. She's just like, I'm about to light a match in this whole building. Like it's about to go down. And that's where I'm like, you're a shady, mean girl.
And Todd is on their side. Remember from earlier?
Yeah,
I know. It was the most enjoyable bit of the whole movie.
Shady,
to me.
Mean boy.
Fair. Todd is ready to just throw a match into a like, fucking barrel of gasoline. So just like, I just want to see what happens.
See, I don't like being a part of drama, but I love watching drama unfold. If I could throw something in a bucket to just make that bucket explode, and I can just sit to the side and just like, ha ha ha.
Beautiful, because destruction's a form of creation.
Absolutely. That's deep, dude.
Yeah.
Good job.
I quoted that from another movie we had to watch from. I don't know when these episodes are getting released, but
no idea.
Yeah.
Where did you think it excelled? You've been quiet. Or just like, what was your favorite part?
I don't know. I mean, I think it's like a perfect mixture of humor, but also you learn a lesson, or it's like, you know, you resonate, but then it comes like to a full circle at the end. I mean, I liked it all. I don't notice anything about like the actual filming, so I wouldn't know about that, but they also excelled in the fashion. I think it's iconic,
the early 2000s fashion.
Yeah, it's like it made it what it is today. Like everyone talks about 2000s if you have a party, and then you think about like Mean Girls. So yeah,
the shirt with the holes cut out,
yeah,
even the props, the burn book itself.
Yeah, the juicy.
The actual fact of like a burn book to me was like such a wild concept, because I'm like, in our day and age, it's just like people just kind of send texts or whatever, might have like a
thread. Throw shade on Twitter.
Or, like, nah, dude, back when we were like high school or whatever, high school, middle school, it would have been like Facebook, dude. Facebook was like a cesspool of just like horrible drama.
Dude,
like
in high school for me, it was always just like, did you see what someone put on Twitter? No. Oh.
Go check it.
Yeah.
Nah.
That's where it all went down. Burn book was public on social media.
Yeah.
Okay.
MySpace.
Well, I guess I want to transition towards like kind of like the last little bit of this. Okay. So
sorry. You made that sound so dramatic.
Yeah, I don't know.
So now we're going to recreate a scene right now.
Right now.
Chloe,
sorry.
Chloe said she knows every word, so she's going to do all of the parts.
All of the parts.
We're going to watch.
I need you to get up and do the dance.
No, I just wanted to open up the floor to like see if you guys had anything else you guys wanted to bring up that was on your mind about the movie rather than like a guided question. If you guys have something that like really struck you or you want to bring up in particular.
Do you have notes? Yeah. Oh, God. Okay, you go first. Do y'all have any thoughts you want to bring up? What we think?
I mean, I just got to say, I think where the movie falls flat, it just has to be with the lighting and stuff. It's just, it's not like it's bad. It just doesn't do a whole lot to add to it, which isn't necessarily a problem again. It's just, it doesn't do anything for it. It doesn't take anything away from it either. It just doesn't do much for it. And for me, I really like lighting. I work in lighting. I love cinematography, stuff like that. So it's like sad to see a movie that doesn't care about that. But at the same time, it's not really about that. It's not a movie that was made to be something.
It's not
like
for people
that.
Like so you.
It's not.
Yeah, this movie really wasn't for you, Dom.
I shouldn't watch it.
No, I just, like, that's where it falls flat for me. Is like, it just doesn't do anything for it. Doesn't take anything away from it. Just kind of a neutral.
Hey, what would change it if the lighting was pretty?
Well, I think I would like, if anything, I'd just make the movie a little more visually interesting. But again, it doesn't, it's not like it takes away from the movie at all. Just, I don't know. Some movies you watch and it's all about the visuals, and then some you watch, it's just all about what's on paper.
Yeah.
And this is one of the ones that's just all about what's on paper kind of deal.
See, I wouldn't say this is like where it fell flat, but this is one of the like additional things I wanted to talk about was like the fact that some of the language that they use is no longer like PC. So
I was
it was
gonna say,
definitely jarring hearing a lot of that going back and watching it, because it was like, oh my God, she did not just say that. And then it's like, they don't call out anything. You're just like, oh, that's just accepted? That's wild.
That's true.
I thought about that too.
Yeah, that's what's weird with like, you know, you make a movie and at the time you're like, oh, this is totally acceptable. This is super great.
Tropic Thunder.
Exactly, Tropic Thunder.
Yes.
It's just like, you think it's, you think it's going to be great. You think it's going to be timeless. It's going to hold up. And then like, you never know how the future is going to play out.
Like that movie would not get greenlit with that kind of stuff now.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
And that's just like,
that's true.
It's kind of wild. It was definitely like a shock going back and getting like hearing that. It's just something you're not used to in today's day and age.
But if you think back, that was like, wow, that really was like what people said at that time kind of deal.
Mm-hmm.
And in high school, especially.
Yeah.
Before people really like grow up and become conscious and like respectful of people. Because I always heard like, once you turn 25, that's when like you become like fully conscious and aware, and everybody feels like, someone said this on like TikTok or Twitter or whatever, but it feels like
you mean X? It's X now.
It's X now. Yeah, you're right. But no, he was like, basically all the way up until like you're 25, it's just kind of like a loading screen in a game. And then when you become like 25 or whatever, your brain goes full conscious. You're just like, oh my God.
You're out of the tutorial.
What's going on? Like, because I'm not going to lie, I had that moment like this past year. Like it was like a day earlier in the spring and I was just like sitting on my couch and like out of nowhere, my eyes went like fully wide and I was like, I get it. Like it was just like a lot of the dots started connecting and I was like, okay, I feel present.
What did you take that before that moment?
Nothing, dude. I was stone cold Steve Austin sober.
Man's high on life.
Straight up, dude. Every day is a beautiful day when you wake up and breathe some fresh air.
That's true.
I'm the last guy to say that. I don't get out of bed until like noon most days.
I thought the one thing I have to say is just the casting was like amazing for this movie.
Spot on.
And they like found people that are just like you said, it was Amanda's first movie. Like that was just great casting because she's like so.
Well, also, like, what adds to that, though, is the fact that she went on to do Mamma Mia, and Mamma Mia is such, like, a staple, you know? I'm pretty sure the first time I watched this, it was doubled down with Mamma Mia. So I watched Mean Girls, then Mamma Mia with whoever, and it was just like, dang, this Amanda girl's, like, really talented.
Yeah.
And then she's grown up into, like, doing crazy roles. Like, honestly,
yeah,
The weirdest role I've seen her do, though, was her in Ted 2. It's the only time that I was like, this feels like out of your normal set of role. In Ted 2? She was the lawyer.
I don't remember.
Mine was, she just did that. What's the one where it's like she was a scammer? The medical thing. The medical show. Amanda, or...
I don't remember.
Y'all don't know what she was just in?
No.
When
I think of her, I think of Dear
John. Oh. Yeah, and then Rachel McAdams was The Notebook.
Yeah.
That's wild. Okay.
Wait, okay, you say your part, but he needs to look up what?
Movie or
TV show? Yes, The Dropout. This is Amanda Seyfried, right?
It looks like her. You can click on cast, I thought. Oh, yeah, it's right there.
Yes, yeah. It's her. She played Elizabeth Holmes. Y'all should watch it. She's like a completely different... I can't believe you haven't seen it.
Does it have good reviews?
Hulu.
90. Oh, yeah. Dude. 90%. I did see her in Crowded Room.
Anyway,
Crowded Room's gnarly.
She acts like very different on this show. So mm-hmm. Y'all should watch it.
We talked about most of my notes. Were you about to say something?
Yeah.
Are you going to wrap it up?
Go ahead.
Here?
Yeah, I was going to wrap
last,
it up.
The last
little
thing.
Oh, yeah. My last two things were just other favorite scenes. Well,
let them rip.
Just the phone scene. I feel like that's iconic too.
Oh, where they the click phone, in. Yeah, yeah.
It just shows very much too how girls. Mm-hmm. She's like, oh, I'm not going to tell anyone. And then she calls her and that's how it starts the whole thing. Mm-hmm. I know your secret. And that's exactly how I feel like girls work.
Mm-hmm. Or even the four-way like connected call. That one was like mad funny too, because mm-hmm. it was like
that's
Amanda's
another,
character. She
Amanda's,
was like, she starts talking shit. And then she's like, what?
Oops.
Who am I on the phone with?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Another perfect delivery of a line. Like, yeah.
Dude, she was great, actually. Yeah.
She plays a stupid girl very well.
She does, but then
and I feel like
also,
I feel like that sounds like an insult.
It does, but that was her character.
But it's hard to do.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's hard to be like the right amount of dumb without overdoing it.
And that just shows like the amount of talent that she has, because like as she's moved on to like more grown roles, like she's phenomenal in like just about everything she does. She always has like a really solid performance and a really good like concept of who her characters are.
She didn't get stuck being typecast as a dumb girl either.
That's well, true. Also, Tina Fey created backstories for all of the characters, all of the main characters. So really? If any of the actors had a question about like, oh, how do you think my character would do this? She would literally just pull out a book and be like, you'd react this way.
That's so cool.
Yeah, it's just like the amount of
what
planning.
A good director or writer would do.
Yeah. Right? But anyways, I mean, this movie is definitely influential. It's definitely a staple. So, I mean, we don't have to like draw on that. It was a massive movie. It has a cult following. I mean, it obviously, like, it didn't do, like, crazy numbers in the box office, which is, like, kind of surprising. Like, worldwide, it only did $130 million, which it's good, but it's, like, for as much of a following as it's gotten, you feel like it would have been more. But it's definitely, like, in this era, I feel like this is one of the movies that, like, everybody bought a VHS or a DVD of and, like, mm-hmm. always made it their, like, their road trip movie or their, you know, whatever movie. Or
Girls'
like,
Night movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So is this like a go-to movie to throw on like a weekend with the girls or something?
It is for me. Like before even watching it for this, like I just put it on at random times. I personally just like it. I don't know.
Mine's not real. Mine is How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days for some reason.
Oh, with Heath Ledger?
Uh-huh.
Wait,
Matthew McConaughey, sorry. And Kate Hudson.
I was thinking 10 Things I Hate About You.
Oh, yeah, that one.
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
10 Days I...
How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
Yeah. But
how
yeah, that's
gays,
mine for
how
some
10
reason.
Days lose a guy?
How did 10 Days lose a guy?
Yeah.
There's a whole bunch of different ways you could take that story.
But yeah. Also, it's just, even if we don't watch it all the time, I quote it all the time with my friends.
Yeah.
Like, get in, loser, we're going shopping. Like, there's so many lines that we just
say. That's another good line. I forgot.
That is a good line.
There's so many that when I was watching the movie, I was like, oh, that it's from this movie.
Yeah.
You know,
the TikTok trend recently where it's when Gretchen is not Gretchen. Regina is yelling at Katie and it's the whole iconic scene where she's like, do you know what everyone says about you? Like, that's a trend. Like, it's just, I feel like it's constantly a thing. Like, no one really gets tired of it, at least the people that like it. It's just always a trend. It's always Halloween costumes. Mm-hmm. That's just a thing for girls.
Nice.
So I think the time has come to rate the movie.
Yeah. Just wanted to open the floor. We're going to rate the movie real quick. And you can do number rating or, you know, 1 letter to 10. Grade. However you feel like, whatever you feel like the rating should be for this. You get to decide the parameters.
Okay.
Do you want to rate it against another movie? Do you want to just give it a number score? It's up to y'all.
Is how we say that what everyone rates it on?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. I think we should give it like a score based on like girl chick flick mm-hmm. comedy, right?
Like five.
Like is it top five girl chick flick kind of stuff?
Yeah. Right? What do you agree? Are we doing it out of five, we said?
Let's go out of 10.
Yeah,
out of more 10. Variables.
I would pick a
9. How okay. to lose a guy in 10 days would be a 10.
9 out of 10 or like it's 9th in? Like,
no, 9 out of 10 for me.
9 out of 10? Okay.
Yeah.
So we're grading out of 10 like point. Okay.
Yeah. Number grade in a category. Don't grade it compared to like every movie ever. Just the others in the genre.
We're getting into the Rotten Tomato score. This is the theater cleaner score.
Yeah,
I don't know why I had to look at my mic.
Okay,
I
you
yeah,
ahead.
I don't know.
I know what the name of the podcast was.
What is our show called?
I would also say a 9 out of 10.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Todd?
I mean, I haven't watched that many like rom-com chick flicks in my life. I've seen a couple, but like of the ones I've seen, it's definitely the best.
I feel
slightly.
Like I feel like it doesn't have enough romance.
It's not
to
like
be a
romance, but I never know how to like
but I think
categorize
we can,
these.
I think we can rate it with rom-coms probably.
True.
No?
I would say just chick flicks. Like,
yeah, because okay. I've seen
Clueless,
more rom-coms than I've seen
mean
chick
girls,
flicks.
Like that genre.
Wait, what was the first one you said?
Clueless.
Oh! Okay,
that's
thank
a good
you. Because now... Yeah.
What?
Okay, I have seen Clueless, so... It's going to affect my ranking, actually. I'm going to go 8.5.
Okay. What would you give Clueless?
Clueless? Probably an 8.
Okay. I didn't know if you were going to put Clueless above.
No, I'd say Clueless is like just below it, but I also don't want to go too high with Mean Girls because I haven't seen all of the chick flicks. So it's like I'm only comparing it against like a couple. So it's like I don't want to give it too much credit, but it's like I might go and watch some more chick flicks and then it's like Mean Girls is just cream of the crop, you know?
Yeah.
For me, as far as I know, it's the best chick flick I've seen. I can't remember anything that like beats it, really.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna go with like an 8 out of 10. There's always stuff you could do better, but like, you know,
it's up there.
Yeah, it's the best. Probably.
I thought with that,
you're going to go
with 10. Intro, you were going to go with a 10. And I was like, honestly, what movies would I put?
I would put, Clueless above.
You would?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know if I can give like a movie that doesn't go all out in everything higher than like a 9.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like you need to hit every category in filmmaking to like make it that high.
Oh.
See, and, like my thing was like, it was just about halfway, like I always take notes whenever I watch these movies, but I was maybe like 15 minutes in and I was like, I noticed I wasn't really taking any notes. And it's like, this is more of a movie to be enjoyed than it is to be like critiqued. So it was kind of just like, I'm just going to sit back and just write down some of the stuff that I think is interesting, not really like technically whatever.
Yeah.
Mindless.
Yeah. It's definitely like a mindless, just sit down, enjoy it kind of movie. But with that, I mean, it's such a great movie, and I want to open the floor to you guys to see, like, before we wrap up, if you guys have anything you want to plug, anything you're doing, anything that's been going on recently that you want to get, you know, people to go check out.
I do not.
Your TikTok?
I don't. I have one or two TikToks. Nope, not for me. Chloe.
I feel uncomfortable plugging myself.
You can. I'll plug for Chloe. She's at Chlo Gonzal.
Chlo Gonzo?
Her TikTok's great. Y'all go watch it.
Chlo Gonzo. Thlogonzo, short for Gonzalez.
And everyone hire 12 Midnight.
Shout out 12 Midnight. They're who keep us going. And like I said, not here currently, but like I said earlier in the season, we are doing like a bit of a tour to 12 so we can get everybody introduced to the people who make 12 Midnight work. Let everybody hear our thoughts and just get to know a little bit more about the business and a little more about what we like about movies.
Love that.
But yeah. Tour to 12. Are you getting like yellow jerseys after like every stint? Tour de France. Yellow jersey is the one that won that.
Yeah, I'm not like I'm not into cycling that much, so I didn't
know
that.
Not either, but you don't know that.
You named it after it.
I guess I was actually no, I was aiming it after the Tour de Bricks.
Oh.
From Bricks Barbecue, their big platter.
Well, they named it after Tour
they
de
did,
France.
They did. I'm they did. But anyways,
they know about it.
This has been another episode of Theater Cleaners. This has been Chloe Gonzalez and Jewel Jeffries, Noel.
Jewel Noah.
My bad.
Jeffries is my maiden name.
Yes.
It's Jewel Noel or just Jewel.
Just Jewel.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry, Jewel.
My driver's license says Jewel Jeffries Noel.
Okay. But anyways, this has been another episode of Theater Cleaners. Check us out again. We'll be back and around for more seasons. But till next time.
Till next time.
Get in, bitches. We're going shopping.
Get in, bitches. We're going shopping.